Psalm 91.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Our second reading is from the first letter of John, chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. We know that we live in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who doesn't love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this commandment, whoever loves God must also love his brother. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. I do find that as I get older, I tend to be more fearful about all sorts of things. And I thought when I was preparing this and talking about perfect love casts out fear, that I would Google some fears. But when I Googled them, there were sort of 10,000 within a second, so we won't go through that. There are some fears which are fears of apprehension. Our young people are facing exams, and we think of those poor people who took the maths exam, and it may have to be discounted because it was leaked in advance. That once happened to us in Cambridge. But fortunately, someone rang up a week before and said, do you realise that next week's exam is on sale in the local bookshop. Fortunately, the exam board, if they know that, have always got a spare paper ready to throw out instead. If you're taking your driving test or going for a medical exam or consultation, there's a certain amount of apprehension, isn't there? Fear of what's going to happen. My brother-in-law was so bad with his blood pressure that the doctor took to calling unexpectedly and taking his blood pressure because if he went to the surgery, he got so worked up it was through the roof anyway. And for those kind of fears, well, we can sometimes prepare. Not a good idea to go and take a driving test without having ever been behind the wheel of a car. And we do try and do what the doctors say. It doesn't always work. We have a man in the avenue who was taken to hospital suddenly and given a stent this week. He's the most active 77-year-old I know. He's the local shepherd and he's always nipping off to shear a sheep. He's also got beehives, so he looks... And he's obviously suffering great fear of not being able to do anything for 2 weeks. And sometimes we just have to step back and relax and say, just Lord, look after this situation. It's impossible for me to cope with. And sometimes there is a fear of guilt and recrimination because we know that we've done something wrong and that we're going to be found out. When we first got married, we got a guard dog for the manse because it was a big house. And we got this dog in Manchester from where you got everything in Ashton under Lyne, which was the chip shop. And they said, just get a dog with big paws and it will grow into a big guard dog. This is not true. It grew into a very small dog with big paws. And so the motorcycle lads that we were working with at the moment changed her name from Miss Smith to Pansy. Not the right thing to be shouting when she escapes late at night on a Saturday and you're shouting Pansy down the street just as the pubs are coming out, I discovered. But anyway, she was also one of the real Manchester Backstreet's worst thief in the world. And anything that you left out would disappear. We once left, remember those Slimming Aids chocolate toffees? We once left a box of those. And she, by the time we remembered, we only got to the end of the cul-de-sac. She'd eaten half the box anyway. And she once, but only once, stole a vindaloo curry. And zoomed around the house for several days. But when we went in, we always knew whether she'd stolen something because she'd come rushing towards us and think, and look for a place to hide. And there are sometimes times when we want to hide away because of the guilt that ensues us. I was reading one of Adrian Plass's writings this week, and he said that one sort of evening he was decided he'd have a cup of tea, and he went into the kitchen and he was making this cup of tea, and he thought, I ought to make one for my son as well. Now, this was a teenage son that he'd had a blazing row with most of the day, and they weren't talking. And he's going, well, I could drink it in the kitchen and he'd never know that I'd made it. But he said, but then God reminded me that he could see what was going on. So he made the tea and took it into the sun, and they started talking again. And there was a cleaning lady who became a Christian, and she said her life was transformed. She said, now I clean behind things as well as in front of things because I know God's looking. If we keep the law of the Spirit, I mean, I'm not saying that anyone who hasn't, like me, backed behind the sofa this week is now eternally condemned. But as far as relationships were concerned, as far as our general behaviour is concerned, then if we keep that, We won't have that fear of guilt. And if it's something that we didn't expect to do, then we can seek absolution from our Lord. And then there are, of course, those fears that are outside our control, our fears for our family, all of them. You seem to have great-grandchildren at the drop of a hat round here at the moment. How many? Six and one on the way, is it, Margaret? Is it six and one on the way, great-grandchildren?
No, I've got great-grandchildren.
Yes.
Due tomorrow,
right, so...
boys.
this one's a boy as well, no surprises. And of course, with social media, there is so much problem for our children, our young people, even for adults who get these weird texts and fear of cyber attacks and so on. And all we can do in those situations is to be there to support and commit them to God, surely the best thing we can do. And then there are the fears of the future. After I had preached this sermon at Langham, someone came up to me and said, I'm terrified of having to go into an old people's home, because he'd visited many and he'd seen the problems. And it's true that many of us don't want to be there. We don't want to lose our minds and all the other things that can happen. But yet we surely need to know that we can take every day as it comes with the Lord, that we can allow our lives to be filled with fear, or we can take one day at a time. And then there are those vague fears that come in the middle of the night. You know, you hear a scratching in the roof and you think, is it a mouse? Is it a squirrel with a box of matches? Or a creak? Is it subsiding? Is it going to fall on top of me? We can work up all these fears. And yet we know that these fears, we can trust to God, that his hand will be with us to guide and help. And there's only one fear that really matters, and that's the fear of the Lord himself. Now, this is not, I'm not going to preach hellfire and damnation to you. George Wycliffe used to do that, and he had this terrible cast in his eye. And he would say, the Lord calling you, and two people would stand up. But here, it's a matter, we know that we are saved. We know that God loves us. We know that he will forgive us. And just as the father or the mother doesn't usually stop loving the child, no matter what they do, so he doesn't stop loving us. It's not a total fear. It's not a terror, because we know that ultimately he loves us so much, he will set us free from fear itself. Paul says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And we can face all things through him as well. And the psalmist wrote, in God I will praise his word. In the Lord I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. And when we find that relationship with God, when we know that we can talk to him, that we can draw our strength from Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then we know that we can face all things through him who strengthens us. Amen. Let us pray. And as we bring to the Lord our prayers of intercession, we're going to, for once, start with ourselves and bring to him in our hearts our own fears and our own dreads and our own worries. Let us pray. Father, we would name before you those things which you know you fear, because you know everything about us. And so we think on these things. And we pray that when those fears press in upon us, that you will remind us that we have put our trust in you and that we need not be afraid. And when we do find ourselves fearful, we ask your forgiveness. Especially when it's something that we've done wrong, we pray that you will help us to know how to put it right, especially again if it's a matter of relationships. And we pray that you will so fill us with your love that we may know too your forgiveness overflowing and lifting us up. And we pray that you will lead us to that fear of you, that perfect love which casts out all fear, except the knowledge of your strength and support for each one of us. We thank you today for the Trinity and for all that it means, that you didn't leave us here without support and without strength. And so we bring together our prayers as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever.